Well, good morning, everyone. It's terrific to see you all. It's nice to have a morning that starts above zero, isn't it? I grew up in country Western Australia. And growing up in country WA, there were two questions that really shaped my life. The first question was, God, why am I living a place that is so far away from anything that's ever happened in this world? Maybe if you grew up in a country town, you could relate to that kind of question. The second question was something that actually shaped my life in so many ways. And the question was this, what's my purpose in life? What am I here for? Now, I left WA a long time ago to answer that first question, but that second question has kind of followed me around ever since. Now, for the longest time, I thought that question was about work or about my occupation, simply because everyone, all my family, kept asking me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I realized in time that this was actually the wrong question to be asking. The right question was, who do you want to be when you grow up? Because that question of who is a question of intention. It's a question of determination. It's a question of purpose. Now, as I've realized, you don't need to be big or strong or powerful to have purpose in life. During the week, I was listening to a great interview about a woman called Heather. Heather is no ordinary woman. She drives trucks. Not those small little trucks. She drives triple trucks, the big ones that roar across Western Australia. Now, what is it that drives Heather to get into that rig at 4:30 in the morning to get up to Port Hedland? I wonder, what is it about driving trucks that makes her comfortable with, or at least putting up with, days that get above 45 degrees? To have fingernails that are always filled with grease and dirt? What is it that drives Heather? What's her purpose in life? Well, if you ask Heather, she would say it's simple. It's freedom. It's freedom. That's why she's so passionate about driving trucks. Because it's the freedom of the open road. It's the freedom to be her own boss. It's the freedom to be with her girls. That's why she is so passionate about driving trucks. And yet, as a part of my work, I meet so many people who have no sense of purpose in life at all. They just drift along from one thing to another. They feel dissatisfied. They feel lost and restless with everything and with everyone. But it's not only people who can lose sight of their purpose. I think congregations can lose sight of their purpose too. What happens when a congregation loses sight of its purpose? Well, it all becomes about rosters and jobs. Who's going to be doing morning tea this week? What kind of Bible studies do we need? Who's doing pastoral care? Who's running the sound desk? Everything can become so easily focused on what we need to do that we lose sight of the bigger question of who are we as God's people? And when everyone loses sight of their purpose, two things tend to happen. One is everyone gets kind of grumpy, you know, for no particular reason. The second thing that happens is they tend to have roast preacher for lunch. So I'm kind of hoping you're going to have lots to eat this morning. But as I've been travelling around the parish over the last couple of weeks, I'm noticing that people can feel like they're asking this question, has Holy Covenant lost its purpose? Now, I'm not so sure it's lost its purpose so much as maybe things have got buried underneath all the jobs that need to be done. And as I look around, I see Holy Covenant's purpose expressed in four simple words. Four words that appear at the top of your bulletin. You might have noticed them, you might have skipped over them. But there's four simple words that really call out our purpose as God's people. And those four simple words are care, together, growing, and equipping. I nearly forgot that last one, but you didn't notice. Four simple words that describe us, who we are. And these are tremendously exciting and powerful words. But they're also very dangerous words. They're dangerous because if we lose sight of our purpose, we can get so caught up in being busy doing these words that we can become disheartened. We can become worn out. We can become disillusioned. So this morning, I just wanted to remind you of those four words and to see how much they inform our purpose together as a church. So let's begin with the first word, caring. What's that all about? I think caring is something that we see really prominently in Jesus' parable this morning, the parable of the lost sheep. Caring is central to what the shepherd does. The shepherd goes out to find the lost sheep, not because it's something he has to do, but it's because of who the shepherd is. Now, sheep, I grew up in country Western Australia, and I grew up among sheep. Now, here's the thing about sheep. Sheep do one thing and one thing only. They eat. Okay? And what do they eat? What's right in front of them? You know, sheep go along like this all day long. So you can see how easily a sheep gets lost. If all you're doing is looking at the ground, the flock can move away and you will completely just fail to notice. Sheep get lost because they become inattentive. They become distracted. Or quite often, they just fail to keep up. It might be because of illness. It might be because of old age. They just lose track of where the flock goes. But the shepherd's not engaged in this because if the shepherd only focused on what they had to do, then they would know it's a thankless and bothersome and just tiring business of chasing sheep around all day. It's who they are that matters. They do it because they care for the sheep. And Jesus wants us to understand this because, not simply because, well, to be honest, I can be a lot like a sheep most days, completely preoccupied with things. I get lost. I struggle to keep up. Jesus kind of wants us to know that. But more important, he wants us to know what the Father is like, what God is like, that God is like a shepherd who cares for us, who goes out looking for us, who never tires of finding us, even when we are distracted, even when we are preoccupied, and especially when we fail to keep up with things. And so it's amazing to see how caring features in the life of our church. Caring is central to everything that we do. And I'm just amazed and awed at how many people care for each other so that no one falls through the cracks. Caring is who we are as Holy Covenant. The second word of purpose that appears in our life is together. I don't know if you've thought about this a whole lot, but together is a word that appears. I don't know if you heard it in our readings this morning, but together is a word that appears in Jesus' parable as well. The parable of what to do with someone who hurts you. Being together is important because it enables us to become our true selves. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but you can't be a disciple by yourself. It takes a community to call out these gifts that God has placed within us. It takes being together to become the body of Christ. We can't do it by ourselves. Jesus knows how difficult it is to be together. Jesus knows how hard it is because everything he had to do, he did it with 12 men. My wife has enough trouble managing one, let alone 12. Jesus knows that we can be self-protective. Jesus knows we can be hard and we can be difficult, which is why in this gospel reading today, Jesus gives us some pointers to manage how we live our life together. The first thing he tells us is that when someone hurts us, don't let it fester. Don't stand on a rooftop and bellow at someone. And whatever you do, don't hurt them back. Go and have a chat with them. Go and see why what happened happened. Because we all have bad days, don't we? We can all be, I know, I can be pretty thoughtless some days, especially when I'm tired and angry and I haven't had lunch. But if we go and speak openly and honestly with each other, that gives us space to see, well, did we hear things rightly? Did I hurt someone? It gives us space to apologize so that we can all move on together. And being together allows us space to see what God will do. After all, Jesus says in that parable, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. It's when we are together that God does something special, something unexpected, and something amazing. But there's a flip side to this parable too. I don't know if you noticed, but being together means taking responsibility, being responsible for our words, for our actions, for our responses. In some ways, there's an old-fashioned word for this thing called responsibility. It's called repentance. It's a word which is about changing your heart and your mind and your direction in life. And it really lies at the heart of being together. A community that wants to be together is a community that's open to others, quick to listen, slow to judge, and ready to repent, to change our hearts and our lives and our direction so that we can be together. Because we all make mistakes. Jesus' words about binding and loosening are so important in this parable. Because when people make mistakes, when people take responsibility for their life and for their action, there should be freedom. Whatever is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's what forgiveness looks like. That's what forgiveness feels like. And as a community, forgiveness is what we're on about. We should be able to forgive each other. But the flip side of this is being responsible. We all know, we all have people in our lives who can be self-righteous or obstinate. People who are full of excuses, who just blame everybody else for everything that goes on. People who never take responsibility for their life. People who never take responsibility for others. They minimize their culpability. They expect forgiveness from others, but they don't show any repentance for themselves. This is where Jesus' words are especially challenging. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I think what Jesus is encouraging us to do is to be responsible, that when people are dangerous, when people hurt and injure others, we should constrain them. They should be restrained. And as churches, we do that in a variety of ways. We try and stop them from hurting others because that interferes with the work that God wants to do in everybody else. A lot of churches can get this back to front. It's sad to see how many victims feel anything but free in church. But one of the great things I notice about Holy Covenant is that Holy Covenant is a place of freedom. It's a place where people find rest and forgiveness and wholeness and healing. What I find also in Holy Covenant is a place that binds things, because it's a place that speaks out against injustice, inequality, and inhumanity. Whenever we exercise that prophetic mission, we are binding powers. We are binding things that hurt people. As they are bound on earth, they are bound in heaven. Holy Covenant speaks for the voiceless. It stands with those who shake and tremble, because we take this word, this being together, very seriously. The next two words are also important, and they are growing and equipping. Growing in Christ is such a wonderful thing, and yet Christians have a knack of turning this into the most awful kind of burden, don't we? We turn growing into Christ into something about jobs, about duties, about keeping the rules, as though somehow growing in Christ is a matter of squishing more theological knowledge into someone's head, or making sure they keep all the rules that need to be kept. But we can think that growing in Christ is about learning how to be biblical, which, if we're honest, is really shorthand for how do we keep all the rules and so that we don't get into trouble with God. I want to suggest to you that that's probably not the way of growing in Christ. It's certainly not the way that we try and do things at Holy Covenant. It's quite sad when we actually hear our first reading this morning, the reading from Exodus about Passover. Rather than hearing it as a story of purpose, of freedom, we turn it into a cooking lesson about what sheep do we need to buy, how do we cook it, when do we need to do it, and who do we eat it with? Isn't that what we do to the Christian life? We kind of break it down into a cooking lesson where it's all about keeping these rules, and we lose sight of the fact that it's about freedom. Or worse, we use the story to point out to others that if you disrespect God, look what will happen to you. Look what God did to those Egyptians, and God will do that to you. And I think that's actually a horrible thing to do with that story. I think as Christians, as we hear and read the Passover story, we should be shocked and horrified at what happens. What I tend to notice is that people who get fixated on rules tend to become the people who start cheering for the angel. They start thinking that, well, those Egyptians, they deserved what they got. I think that's not the way we are to be, because that's about rule keeping. Here's the thing, being a Christian isn't about keeping the rules. Growing in Christ, that's the purpose of being a part of the church. And growing in Christ is about something else. Growing in Christ is about learning how to love. That's what Paul is talking about in Romans 13. I don't know if you picked it up. It can be a bit buried in there, but it's about love. We hear it in verse 8. The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. And again in verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Eugene Peterson puts it this way. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add it all up, everything that's in the law code, the sum total is love. All this from a man who was scrupulous about keeping the law. All this from a guy who had more Bible knowledge than you could ever dream of. Think about it for a moment. Think about it in the context of an opinion survey, when so many Christians seem so anxious and worried that voting for love will somehow extinguish our religious freedom. If Paul was here today, I think he might add a postscript to those couple of verses. I think he might add, well, if your religious freedom causes you to act in ways that diminish, denigrate, or otherwise dismiss the importance of love, then the sooner your freedom goes in the trash bin, the better. St. Augustine would put it this way a few centuries later. Love God, then live as you please. That's a pretty audacious statement, isn't it? What Augustine knew was that we needed to love God first. And when we love God first, when we take God's love deep into our hearts, deep into our lives, let it percolate every single pore of our soul, then it will flow through us and it will change everything. This kind of love is good news to the poor. This kind of love is good news to those who are blind. This kind of love helps the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to sing. This is the kind of love that we have at Holy Covenant. This kind of love is about finding ways to help everyone flourish. This is the kind of love that we seek to see become a reality, not simply here in Jamison, but in our families, in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in our city. Holy Covenant has a deep purpose: to care, to be together, to grow in Christ, and to help others take this journey with us. We do these things not because they are things that need to be done, but because of who we are. Caring for others, being together, growing in Christ. These things help us to experience something deep about God. And they fill us to the brim with purpose. That's who I want to be. That's the kind of person I want to be. Someone who cares. Someone who's with others. Someone who's growing in Christ. Someone who's helping others take the journey. And that's why I'm so pleased to see all of you here at Holy Covenant, because I know that you want to be a part of this journey too. So let's remember Jesus' words when he says that his Father in heaven goes into action when two or three people gather together and pray. Let us find ways to pray that God's care will be made real here. Let us pray that we will be together as a community who sets people free and binds up those who hurt others. Let us pray that we will be a place that grows deeply into Christ. And let us pray to be a community that equips others and encourages them to take this journey with us. That's an exciting road ahead for us all. Amen.